أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الصلاة والسلام على محمد وآله الطيبين الطاهرين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. So we've been looking at Hamidat Crescent, where we find five chapters of the Quran that begin with Alhamdulillah, which means praise and gratitude belongs to Allah. Now today we will look at the third of those chapters, which is Surah Al-Kahf. Surah Al-Kahf is Surah number 18. Kahf is the cave, and it gets its name from a story within this surah about the people of the cave. The surah has 110 ayat. It's a Madani surah, and we'll start off by looking at the focus of the surah. So in essence, we have four narratives and one moral story. Moral stories are sometimes called parables. So four narratives, four stories, one parable, and they draw attention to divine tests. So we're looking at five divine tests: test of faith, test of wealth, test of obedience, test of knowledge, and test of power. And within all these, there's a thread, and the thread is accountability. So it's sort of woven together with accountability. And then to know how to get through those tests, we need guidance. And so we find in the final section, there's a guidance to success can only come from his messengers, his prophet, and his book, which is the Quran. Benefits of recitation. It's highly recommended to recite the surah on a Friday. We're told that this, or part of this, was recited by the head of Imam Hussein alayhi salam when it was taken from Karbala to Kufa to Damascus. There are hadiths that tell us that the surah accords us protection, especially protection from Dajjal, which is sort of Armageddon at the end of time. But good surah to recite for protection. And also, it creates a force field around you if you read it before you go to sleep. And it is said that the angels ask for forgiveness for one who recites the surah. The did you know about this surah? It's absolutely amazing, because the surah before is Surah Al-Isra, which is surah number 17. And the last ayah says, وَقُلِ الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ, and say, all praise is due to Allah. And this surah begins with Alhamdulillah, all praise and gratitude is for Allah. So let's look at the surah now. 110 ayat divided into nine sections. The first section, from ayah 1 to 8, is in essence a base, a foundation, which talks about the Quran. There is no deviation, is it? There's no changing, no crookedness. It's a stronger standing, timeless miracle that will not sway. It's just as strong 1400 years ago as it is now, and there's no change in its values. The second section is where this surah gets its name from, which is the Companions of the Cave. This is about a group of young people from a famous city called Afsus, who suddenly found themselves with a king who persecuted the Christians who lived at that time. These young men stood up for their beliefs and had to leave the town to escape the king. They meet a shepherd and his dog, who leads them to safety into a cave, which in Arabic is called Kahf. They are pursued by the king and his men, and as they hear them come near, they pray for safety, and they're overcome with a deep sleep. The king's minister reports that they had died of fright, and the news pleases the king, who ordered the cave to be shut. A stone tablet with the name of these people and the date of the event inscribed on it is put at the entrance of the cave. They wake up after centuries, at the time of a just king, but do not appreciate the length of time that they have been sleeping, and pray to be restored to their original condition. Their dua is granted, and they're again overcome by deep sleep. They are a miracle of divinity. Third section is an anecdote or a moral story about two gardens, two individuals, one who is so arrogant that he thinks all of what he owns is his own efforts and it will never go anywhere, and that he is the one who is in total control, and the other who reminds him of the control of Allah. And when one day the garden of the one who is arrogant is destroyed, He says, يا ليتني لم أشرق بربي أحدا. How I wish I had not associated anyone with my Rabb. And that is a test of wealth. The third section is Ayah 50-53. It's a test of obedience, where Shaitan refuses to obey Allah and do sajda for the creation of Adam. The fourth section, which is Ayah 54-59, leads us back to the guidance of the Qur'an and divine messengers. The fifth section is a third story. It's a test of knowledge, and it narrates the interaction between Prophet Musa, who is the most knowledgeable man of his time, and Khidr. And the essence of this story is that you cannot rationalize everything. You must factor divinity in every situation. Do your best, hand it over to him, and then have sabr. Have patience. And we found that even the most knowledgeable man of the time, Prophet Musa, lacked this sabr when he interacted with Khidr. And then the seventh section, it's about Dhulqarnain, Ayah 83-98. And in essence, it's a test of authority and power. And we find how Dhulqarnain uses his power to establish justice. The famous stories of Yajuj and Majuj come in here, and inshallah we will look at all these stories individually. And then the thread that runs through this, Qiyamah, accountability, Ayah 99-108 in section 8. And basically Allah says the biggest losers in the world are those who don't work smart. Their efforts were exhausted in worldly life, and they don't factor in the Akhirah. He calls them the worst of losers in Ayah 103. And finally, in the last section, Ayah 109-110, the solution, the message and the messenger, the Quran and the Prophet. In Ayah 109, he says, the words of your Rabb, the guidance of your Rabb is inexhaustible. Allah gives the example of oceans, saying if they were ink. Now, you know, he uses the word midad, to extend, because ink becomes the extension of thoughts. When we write something, it's an extension of what we think. And he's saying the guidance from your Rabb is just inexhaustible. This is the awesomeness of the Quran. So in a nutshell, when we're tested in Iman, we learn from the companions of the cave. When we're tested with our wealth, we look at the narrative of the two gardens. When we're tested with obedience, we think of Shaitan. When we think we know everything, think of Prophet Musa and Khidr. When we are in authority, we look at how Dhulqarnain used his authority in a positive way. And finally, we've got to work smart. We've got to focus on the dunya and the akhirah, putting them seamlessly together by using the Qur'an as our guide and the Qur'an's extension, the Ma'sumeen, the Prophet and his family, as our practical guides. رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ عَلِيمٌ